The first reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It can be found on page 1153 of most of the church Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Friends, please do be seated. We continue our sermon series that we've been following through the course of this term, in the evening services, and it's to think about the questions and challenges that confront us in the life of faith. And this evening, we come to this question. I'm a Christian, but do I really need to go to church? Well, before we explore this question a little more, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit, our hearts and minds would be open to receive the truth of the Scriptures. Be with us now, we pray. Amen. I'm a Christian, but do I really need to go to church? I'm a Christian, but do I really need to go to church? Yes. Let's close with a prayer. No. Of course, I've prepared more than that, you'll be glad to hear. I actually want to begin with a couple of anecdotes, which perhaps sum up a common attitude toward church. And as I share these stories, I'd like you to think about those people that you know who are in a similar situation. People you know who would say for themselves that they feel the same way. And this is my first anecdote. Some years ago, not long after I'd been selected to train for ordination, Anna and I were delayed at an airport. We'd been to visit family or something, and we were on our way home. And as good Brits do, when we discovered that our flight had been delayed, we happily started grumbling with our neighbours nearest us in the perfectly formed queue. And as the discussion developed with the lady in front of us, she asked me what I did. I told her that I was about to start training for ordination, and her eyes lit up. She said that she had thought about pursuing something similar for herself. She said that she liked the idea of Jesus. She liked the idea of his life, but she didn't have time for the church. She wanted no part in it. Or again, more recently, a friend of mine whom I met through the gym told me that he wanted to get his daughter baptized. And he told me in no uncertain terms that he wanted to bring her up in the life of the Christian faith, but he didn't want to have anything to do with the church or to be involved with its activity. It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? But it's not an uncommon attitude. And I'm sure that if I can think of people who feel that way, perhaps you can too. Now, we might want to say here that there is some perhaps broader confusion between what it means to be the church, to be a part of the body of Christ, and how it's structured as an institution, or what it means to belong to a particular denomination. But there it is. There's a whole host of folk out there who are interested in connecting with God, in considering what it means to be in relationship with him. But it's the church which serves as a stumbling block in their eyes. So there's the gap. And we have to ask, how can we bridge that cultural divide? When on one side, there are those of us who want to say that being involved in the life of the church is good and wise and necessary, and on the other, there's a group of people who claim that they would be Christians if it weren't for the church. It is a tricky question. I'm a Christian, but do I really need to go to church? Yes. But it's how we present that yes to our current generation that's the tricky thing. Well, this evening I want to look at this extract from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And as we work our way through, I feel there's something that corrects, and then there's something that supports. There's something that perhaps corrects our way of thinking, and then there's something which supports us as we seek to live the Christian life faithfully together. So if you have a Bible in front of you, please do look up our New Testament reading this evening, 1 Corinthians 12, reading from verse 12. Well, as we approach the scriptures, my first point is simply to say that if you're in Christ, you're already in the church. That's the corrective, it seems to me. If you're in Christ, you're already in the church. Because it's something you're born into through faith. Something you receive as a gift. But let's turn to the scripture now. I'm reading here from verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. There it is, to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Let's just pause there. Our society holds up the place of the individual over and sometimes against the value of community. And so for that reason, it's easy to slip into an individualistic way of thinking, to be egocentric. And sometimes I find myself, when I'm facing a new situation or challenge, I can hear myself asking, what's in it for me? How do I benefit from this? And as that way of thinking has been applied to the Christian faith, we've somehow reached a point where it seems valid to consider our relationship with God apart from our relationship with other Christians. We think about the individual without consideration for the community. Now, somehow seems possible to question what it means to belong to Christ over here without considering who else belongs to him. And that's a false distinction. If we think about our gospel reading, look at how Christ summarized the Christian life. One rule of faith expressed as two commands, two connected commands. Love God, love neighbor. The individual and corporate aspects come together. If you're in Christ, and what I mean by that is, if the Holy Spirit has been at work in you to convince you that Christ is Lord, then the Spirit has already placed you in the life of his church. Now, practically speaking, we're so used to seeing and relating to church as an institution, with its structures and activities, that we can fall into a trap of thinking that church is something that we can be involved with or distance ourselves from at our leisure. We might say to ourselves, do you know, this time next year, I'm going to put myself forward for the PCC. Or again, we might say, I'm so swamped at the moment that next term I'm going to take a step back and commit to a little less on the rota. We become so used to thinking like this that we can fail to see that actually, in the first instance, church is something that happens to us, something done to us. It's something we're born into through faith. It's our context. Just as we don't get to choose our family, we don't get to choose the church. That's because when Christ calls us to himself, he grafts us into his body, the church, the community of other Christians. So just as the foot is wrong when it says here, oh, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. So we're wrong to think that because I'm not a card-carrying Anglican or Baptist, I'm not a part of the church. Actually, if you're in Christ, you're in the church. The question is, do you recognize it? And do you own it for yourself? If you're in Christ, you're in the church. It's something you're born into through faith and receive. And here's where I want to pick up on a second point. So we've heard the corrective. Now, here's something for our encouragement. Here's the support. The church is diverse in its gifts, so it can be united in the way it loves. The church is diverse in its gifts, so it can be united in its witness, the way it loves. Let me read from verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they are all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And skipping to verse 25, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. As Paul continues with his analogy, as he continues to talk about the body of Christ, the true church, as if it were a human body, we learn that each of us has our own role to play, with our own gifts and talents to offer. And actually, there's a mutual interdependence here. If church is to work well, there has to be this sense of reliance. There has to be, in fact, a humbling awareness that others possess the gifts we don't have. That's important. We have to have that humbling awareness that others possess the gifts we don't have. Now, outside in our culture around us, the word diversity seems to be a bit of a catchphrase, a buzzword at the moment. Our culture wants to be seen as celebrating diversity, as all-encompassing, all-embracing. And we've been told that that's at the heart of what it means to be British. Okay, very well. But the body of Christ seeks to move beyond diversity for diversity's sake. There's a hidden virtue here. There's a greater treasure in view. And that's to say the church is diverse in its gift, so it can be united in the way it loves, in its witness, so it can stand as one, even to the point where it says right there in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, then all rejoice together. That's unity. That's unity, a willingness to share each other's joy and grief. You see, the Christian life is hard. Jesus summarizes it in two commands, love God and love neighbor. But the lived reality of that, the truth of the matter, is that the Christian life is hard. You have to have a sense of grit about you, a determination you feel from your stomach to stick it out. But there's the thing. In the church, the body of Christ, you encounter others who possess very different gifts and skills, who are able to comfort, surround, and love you. And when we see that happen, that's when we see the church at her best. The church is diverse, diverse in its gifts, so it can be united in its witness and its love. Friends, some of you might remember that around, I think, 2 years ago, Anna had quite a serious car crash. In fact, so serious I was hauled out of a morning service halfway through and told the news. You know, it's such a blessing that no one was seriously hurt. But as you can imagine, it left us in a state of shock. But as we suffered, we honestly felt like the parish suffered with us. That they had a vision of what it was to be the body of Christ. And people with very different gifts and talents went out of their way to show us love. And so we began to see for ourselves what Paul meant in verse 25. There should be no division among the body, so that its parts can have equal concern for each other. There is diversity of gifts and roles, so there can be a unity of witness, a unity in the way we love, sharing each other's joys, but also griefs. Now, it's true, and this is where I need to be careful, it's true that the human face of church, the organized institution, has been known to make mistakes, to hurt people, terribly. But our response to that is not by distancing ourselves from what we're already spiritually a part of, but we have to own the human face of church too, warts and all. Even to the point of confessing those heinous faults, the past, and seek justice for those who've been wronged. We cannot let the failings of church history alter our vision of what the church is called to be in Christ, his body, his continuing presence in the world. The church into which we're born by faith, well, it's Christ's hands to embrace the orphan. It's his mouthpiece to defend the powerless, his eyes to discern what is right from wrong, his feet to walk beside those who mourn. The body of Christ, the true church, is Christ himself at work amongst us. We cannot lose track of that. We cannot let that vision be tarnished or suppressed. The church, in essence, yes, it's a diverse body which seeks to love in perfect unity. I'm a Christian, but do I really need to go to church? Yes. Because like it or not, if you're in Christ, you're already a part of his church. You just have to own that fact for yourself. I'm a Christian, but do I really need to go to church? Well, why wouldn't you? There's a diverse community out there waiting to love you, to share your joys, and to comfort you in your grief. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace, that great privilege that when you call us by name, you call us into a community. We pray by your Spirit you would equip us to take our place in that, to discern what you would have us do. We thank you for the diverse range of gifts in the church. And we pray that we would be united in our witness, in this place, in our town of Tunbridge, that we might be united in the way we love. Amen.